Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I am your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in. Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, CCTA. We're proud to be able to bring you this show, and we owe it all to our sponsors. So listen to their ads. Please go out, visit them, tell them you heard about us on CCTA Wake Up Call, and we'd appreciate that. Real quick, I'm going to introduce the panel we have tonight. We have Bob Griswold.
Hello.
We have his lovely wife, Mary Griswold.
Hello.
And Mary is also the author and owner and whatever you want to call her of RightWingGranny.com. It's a very conservative blog and a very excellent source for news, and she will give you the source. It's not her opinion. She always gives you the source. Next is Diane Ruffino.
Hey, how are you doing?
Diane comes to us from Pitt County. She's a co-founder of the Eastern North Carolina Tea Party there. And she's been with us right good while here on the radio show. She brings a lot of talent and experience. Her background, she's got too many degrees to number, and she's been a teacher. She's an attorney, just
Scientist,
biologist,
writer, blogger.
She's orbited the moon twice. And
she's got her own animal rescue thing, too.
Yeah, yeah. I've got 50 kids. And
next, we have Melissa. Melissa is a newest addition to the show, and she brings a lot of passion to the show with her. She's the one we handcuff to the chair and make her sit in front of the impeachment trial so she can keep us up to date on that stuff. Melissa.
Hello.
Hello. And then we have the lovely Rainer James. She is, hello, Rainer.
Hey, Rick.
She is a little bit of everything in CCTA. She right now mainly focuses on our page in the County Compass and putting that together, and does a fine job of that. Connie Hanna contributes to that with the
hugely, yep.
The Trump report card, and then Rainer has a number of different people submit articles to her, and one of those is right next to her, and that's Hal James.
Hey.
Hal James is our co-chair. He's chair of our watchdog committee and numerous other things, but that's the crew we have here behind the microphones today, and it's a good thing you can't see us because we're not all as pretty as you think we are. Or maybe we're...
Maybe we're prettier.
I think we are a good-looking crowd here.
Yeah. We all combed our hair.
All right. We have shoes
hey,
on.
Hey, speak for yourself.
All right, we're going to have to switch over to a TV show, I guess, instead of radio. But I've always heard I had a face for radio, so. Anyway, let's get on with what's going on in the world today. And we've got a number of topics we're going to touch on. Rainer was kind enough to provide me with a list of things here that she's interested in. And without getting into, folks, this is difficult, okay? We're all constitutional conservatives. We're very passionate about working in the system and doing our civic duty and trying to identify and help get elected conservative candidates. Other people who are like-minded with our bylaws and our mission statement and what we're all about that will help to uphold and support and defend the Constitution. And govern in the way that they're meant to govern and the way the Constitution allows them to do it, that really take the oath, mean the oath, and live and uphold the oath. So, but we are a 501c3, and we cannot endorse or appear to endorse candidates. What we can do is endorse ideas.
Absolutely.
We can endorse principles.
And as individuals, we can work for candidates.
Yeah, as individuals, we can do that. And we do that. We do that also.
He said, do.
Yeah. So, Rainer, you said you had read a piece in Daily Haymaker about a couple of candidates. Do you want to elaborate on that and why it piqued your interest?
Well, there are 12 people running for the seat Mark Meadows currently holds.
Okay.
And, of course, he's very active in the Freedom Caucus, and they're very well aligned with the things that we care about. And the Daily Haymaker has noted they got information from a pollster who's not associated with any campaign. There are two of them, Jim Davis, who's currently serving in the North Carolina Senate, and Linda Bennett, who is an activist with the GOP and on the right, are the two candidates that appear to have the lead. Jim Davis with 24% of those polled, and Linda Bennett with a couple points lower, 22, I think the number was. It takes 30% for one candidate to not have to have a runoff. So both of them are edging into that territory, but they're kind of edging each other out. Jim Davis has been very well reported by the Civitas. He overall, if his time in the North Carolina Senate, he's almost 82% in terms of his conservative votes. And the interesting, well, there are several interesting things about Linda Bennett, but she is being supported by a D.C.-based PAC called Right Women, which is trying to elect more women who will align with the House Freedom Caucus.
Right.
Debbie Meadows, Mark Meadows' wife, heads that up. And it's been reported that Mark Meadows has attended some of those events, but he's sort of stayed in the background and his wife has taken the lead. So he's not endorsed anybody personally.
But she has.
She has, his right.
Wife, right.
Yeah. So I see that as a very interesting race, and both of those people to me sound like good choices. I don't know which is the best choice, and I don't vote in that district, but it's something, since I care enormously about the success of the Freedom Caucus, it's something I care about.
Right. Well, I think I'm glad you brought that up. Without, you know, trying to push one candidate over the other, you are identifying the need for people to do some research.
Absolutely.
You say there's 12 candidates there, and Mark Meadows has been an excellent conservative leader, and as a member of the Freedom Caucus has accomplished a lot there in D.C. So,
and in leadership positions with the Freedom Caucus, he has really stuck his neck out way beyond what most people in D.C. will do.
So you've highlighted the fact that people do need to go out and do some research, and you mentioned a source, the Daily Haymaker. Diane?
Two questions for Rainer. First of all, now I can only remember one of the questions. Do we know why Mark Meadows has decided to step down?
I think he's going to work in the White House.
Really?
What I've heard too that he's going to work in the White House as sort of a advisor to the president. I don't know exactly what area.
Okay. And so I do remember the second question, and then I forgot it again. Jim Jordan might step up and lead the Freedom Caucus?
Well, there's a third person is now doing it. I can't think of his name.
Andy Biggs?
Yes, Andy Biggs.
And he's a great guy. I met him while I was up in D.C.
Did you?
Yeah. He's not much taller than me.
Oh, really?
That's how I gauge people. But Jim Jordan.
But you do take notice.
Yeah, but Jim Jordan's only a little bit taller than me. Yeah. And Biggs is not big.
Well, Diane, I've got a news flash for you, darling. It doesn't necessarily take someone big of stature to be a big person.
It's true.
Jim Jordan's one heck of a wrestler.
Okay. I do feel bad that he's stepping down. Because,
I do, too. That bugs me. But I don't think he would do it if he didn't think he was getting into a position to do even more good than he would if he stayed.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Well, let's move on. You indicated there was another article that piqued your interest also, and this one was in the Daily Signal, I believe, Fred Lucas. Tell us who Fred Lucas is and why is the article entitled Danger, Danger, Danger?
Well, Fred Lucas is the author, and he does in-depth political pieces regularly. He's talking about, in this article, about the defense team for the president in the impeachment trial.
Okay.
And he's talking about that they were very brief compared to the House managers. The House managers took something like 21. They had up to 24 hours. They took something like 21 of them, and the defense took less than 12.
Yeah,
good strategy there.
yeah. So they didn't bore people to death. Yeah.
I think it was Melissa that told me why they only needed 12. No, I think it was your mother. It takes a lot less time to tell the truth than it does to try to tell to put all the lies.
And she made a really astute observation.
Yes.
But so the danger. They really latched onto 4 points. The danger part was something that interested me because I think we're all aware of it. Jay Sekulow talked about that when we start impeaching a president and don't allege a crime at all, it's establishing a dangerous path to punish future presidents.
Absolutely.
It freezes them from the get-go. And to lower the bar to impeachment would impact the functioning of the Constitution, the balance between the presidency and having foreign policy completely under his wing versus the House being able to essentially veto it by impeachment.
Right.
That just flat out would take a strong president and turn it into more like a parliamentary prime minister,
right.
Weakening the president. And so if this stands, we have just shot ourselves in the foot big time so far as our system of government and our balance of power is concerned.
Right. Well, I hope it's not going to stand that a lot of it's being exposed, Diane.
Well, that would also be ignoring Article 2 of the Constitution because it makes it pretty clear the president has almost plenary power to mm-hmm. engage in foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Another point that we've seen this week is everybody's hiding behind the Constitution, that this gives me the authority to do this and that and the other thing, when in fact the Constitution says, hey, government, you can't go here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You cannot go here.
Well, it sets forth things that each branch can do,
mm-hmm.
and then there are other things that are reserved to the states or to we the people.
And, right.
and we need to not forget that.
They seem to have used a loose leaf constitution and thrown parts of it away.
Loose leaf.
I honestly think that many of the people in the House who were involved with this impeachment probably haven't read the Constitution. They don't appear to be familiar with it at all. And they do seem to be congenital liars. It's very frustrating for
right.
me.
Well, I have to think that when our founders were all gathered together and they were going through this process of developing the Constitution and all our founding documents, they were surrounded by patriots and their vision for the country they were trying to build. They probably did not envision the type of politicians we have in the swamp today because, you know, they thought being there was an act of service.
But they did say that this form of government would only work for a moral people.
That's right.
Yes.
Right, right.
And we've got a few who aren't.
I think the people that we're talking about on the left, I think they don't read the Constitution because if they did so, then that would mean they'd have to acknowledge it. And we know that side of the spectrum, political spectrum, they do not acknowledge the Constitution. they really want to get rid of it so that they can transform the country as they see fit.
They really don't mind hiding behind it and claiming that they're doing.
Nancy Pelosi's been making references to the Constitution.
Oh, they all have.
The very same Nancy Pelosi that when asked a question about another piece of legislation, asking her where in the Constitution that allowed them to pass this, she said, "Are you serious?
I don't read the Constitution." Yes, you laughed. Are you serious? That was Obamacare.
Yes.
All right, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We're off to a good start, and we'll finish up when we come back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, let's talk a little bit about the most boring thing you could possibly talk about. What could that be? Oh, impeachment. Who wants to start? Diane, Melissa, one of y'all?
Go ahead. Well, I was up in D.C. A few days ago, this past week, and I actually did get to sit in the Senate chambers, and I did get to sit in the impeachment hearing, and... if you like the sound of Adam Schiff's voice, if you like the way he looks, then it was a wonderful experience. but if you were like me, who just kind of retches at the sight and sound, I really would have liked to bang my head against the concrete wall. But as long as I was there for many hours, I thought I kept hearing the same thing over and over and over from him. And apparently everybody says the same thing. He went on for 21 hours almost, and he repeated himself many, many, many times. And when I was there that night for all those hours, he repeated himself at least three times. But it's an experience. It's an experience to look down and see Bernie Sanders constantly leaving the Senate chambers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he heard anything. He was constantly getting
out. Well, to that point about repeating yourself over and over again, I thought the defense did an excellent job.
Oh, the defense was brilliant.
When they said, and we didn't have to show the video seven times.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Someone also said right. We listened for 2 hours and then we listened to the same thing in the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. And I'm like, right. Why did, and he went to the timetable. The thing is, he went through it. Now, let me go through the timetable. Wait, you just went through a timetable. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I don't know if it's from a different point of view, but it was exact same information.
Well, the way the defense approached it, they used the actual video of the actual people saying their actual things, yeah. And they only had to play it once. Very incriminating.
Now, I think most of us would agree with a certain amount of life experience that many times people who are telling the truth do it very briefly and to the point.
Right.
If someone is constantly embellishing on a story, you have a pretty good idea that they might not be telling the truth. And my reaction to watching this was, I would not buy a used car from the house manager.
Well, wasn't that a Marxist tactic principle? If you tell a lie often enough.
That was the Nazis.
Wait, no, that's some Seinfeld. Come on. That's
will the managers release their 21 hours for insomniacs?
I don't know. And when I hear things over and over again, I just tune it out.
Well, when Adam Schiff was explaining to everybody why they tried to keep the whistleblower's identity secret, I think he quoted the Inspector General saying that confidentiality, they hoped it would be respected. And he said, I'm trying to respect that. And he just went on and on about how he thought the whistleblower's identity needed to be protected. He seemed to be scared to death that they were going to call a witness that would require the whistleblower's identity to be revealed. And I think that American people should know who it is in somewhat one way or another.
What he's really afraid of is it's going to be revealed that him and the whistleblower worked on this for many, many weeks before
Absolutely.
It ever came.
Uh-huh.
As
Absolutely.
Much as the Democrats are crying for more witnesses, it's very interesting that there were 18 witnesses that testified before the House managers. 17 of those transcripts have been released.
Mm-hmm.
The 18th witness has not been released. That's the Inspector General.
Right.
That's the one that has the answers in it. I would say I don't want to hear anything about more witnesses until you release that transcript.
That's another good point.
Way to go, Mary.
That's another good point on the way the defense handled their side of it was they went through all this stuff, the house of all these things, but why didn't they tell you this? Things that were discussed and discovered in the house investigation, but now they're leaving it out. They're not mentioning the thing. They're cherry picking what they want to mm-hmm. say and anything that goes against what they're trying to do, because some of their witnesses just didn't play with them. Yeah. You know, they just told the truth.
Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I mean, I could tell you, Adam Schiff would talk about things, and this is what he said. And then after he would kind of paraphrase what the witness said, then he would look at the crowd and say, that's code for cover-up.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was paraphrasing and he was interpreting. So a lot of their case was not actual factual. It was their interpretation. And they never sided on Trump's side. It was never that they gave him the benefit of the doubt. It was always, there's something nefarious, there's something evil.
Did he resurrect the word parody at all while he was playing these games?
Oh, I forgot about that. I
mean, how could you forget that?
Yeah, he would put, that's quid pro quo. That's cover up. That's, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like, oh my God, all right. Yeah.
And you know, the sad fact
is,
as bad as that is, that's not the end of it. Because there's countless hours of it being repeated over and over again on CNN and MSNBC. I mean, just...
I bet there's some people they don't show on those channels.
I don't spend much time on mainstream media, but if you've been and just scanned into channels, how many times have you heard, bombshell,
oh, I know.
A bombshell. I know. They dropped a bombshell today. There's another bombshell. Oh, this bombshell report. So you're waiting for this bombshell... And it's nothing.
I spared myself all that by listening to One American News.
Yeah. Well, I do too. But
well, along with that, the bombshell this week is the bombshell that the New York Times has some pre-release of some pre-release of some partial pre-release of John Bolton's possible pre-release book.
That's right.
That and happened. That happened to come out just hours before you could pre-order copies of his book on Amazon.
Yes.
Very well timed.
Yeah.
The bombshell that was dropped in the middle of the
trial. In case you didn't know it, John Bolton is just itching to testify. He's ready. He's ready. He's been ready for months and years. He's been ready to do this.
I forgot which one of the Trump's legal team said this, but they were talking about Michael Bolton, and he said, and he gave this parody. He says, there's a woman, she found a snake, he was injured, she took the snake home, and she brought it back to health, and finally it was back to good. She let the snake go, and it turned around and bit her. And she's like, wait, why would he do that? I just nursed him back to health. And the moral is that he's a snake, right? That's what a snake does, right?
Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I'm a snake.
That's what we do.
You meant John Bolton, not Michael.
I know, you said Michael.
Oh, no!
Sing about
it. No, I'm so sorry.
Michael Bolton would have been so much more entertaining.
We apologize, Michael Bolton.
I'm so sorry. I'm sick.
Sorry, folks,
I'm sick.
We didn't think this was going to be a comedy show.
But then this person was saying, what's his name?
No,
Bolton is, Bolton is a snake. So why did he do this? Why would he do this? Because he's a snake, and you have to expect that's what he would do.
All right. Well, now that we're fear talking about Michael Bolton, we'll move on. Move on to some other interesting stuff. Bob, what have you got for us? Anything?
Oh, I'm going to pass for right now.
I'd like to make a point that something that was interesting to me. You know, the plan of the century, the peace plan
for Israel.
Israel and Palestine.
Something else that no other president's been able to get done.
Right. I suspect that Jay Sekulow was very pleased to be representing the president and protecting him because he is capable of doing things like that. A couple years ago, Jay Sekulow wrote a book called Unholy Alliance, subtitle The Agenda Iran, Russia, and the Jihadist Share for Conquering the World.
Right.
And on page 140, there's a couple of sentences I'd like to read out of that.
Go ahead.
Iran's number one enemy is Israel, so it's no surprise that the clearest ties between Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood are to be found in the Islamic Resistance Movement, more commonly known as Hamas, which is a Palestinian offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. Despite sectarian differences, Iran has a strong incentive to maintain friendship with Hamas because through Gaza, Iran gains access to the southern border of its enemy, Israel. Iran and Hamas share the long-term goal of seeing Israel completely destroyed, and this is the foundation of their relationship. I think peace in the Middle East, a two-state solution, where the Palestinians became prosperous, would absolutely do in the effectiveness of Hamas. And it would be a real huge game changer in all that part of the world. I think it's something that Jay Sekulow would love to see. And so it's a one of life's ironies that he is one of the people protecting the president from going down in flames so that he can continue to do the beautiful job for our country that he's doing.
All right.
On that subject, I'd like to add that the Palestinians, I saw a few of them being interviewed on One American News today, and they were complaining that this would cut the territory they'd like to have in half. Well, it would also double the territory that they actually have now.
Yeah.
And I think that they, once they look it over, if they use some common sense about it, they'd realize it's the best deal that they would ever make by resisting the Israelis.
Right.
You're right. But the thing to keep in mind here is Yasser Arafat was offered a phenomenal deal, and he turned it down because he knew if he accepted it, he would be killed. Part of this deal is that Hamas and Hezbollah would have to disarm. That's a problem.
Yes.
Jerusalem will not be divided under this deal,
right.
But yet the Palestinians will have access to half of it as a capital. But again, when the Gaza Strip was given to the, quote, Palestinians, and we could debate for a long time whether there really are Palestinians. I'm going to digress for a minute. There's a man by the name of Waleed Shubat who has the most amazing quote. And he says, in 1967, I went to bed as a Jordanian. And when I got up the next morning, I was a Palestinian. So that's something to keep in mind, too.
Right.
But when the Gaza Strip was turned over to Palestine, the Gaza Strip had been one of the agricultural centers of Israel. They had a lot of greenhouses there. It was a very prosperous area. The first thing the Palestinians did was destroy the greenhouses. The second thing that happened was rockets came into Israel from that area. The third thing that happened was very sophisticated underground tunnels were built into Israel with the purpose of killing civilians, mm-hmm. one aimed at a kindergarten. I would love to see peace in the Middle East. And I like the fact that President Trump is dangling the carrot of economic prosperity front of them. Because all the money that we've thrown at the Gaza Strip and that whole area has gone into constructing the tunnels and buying weapons. Mm-hmm. If we can offer something that will provide a living for people, we might have a
civilian population getting the
we
money.
We might have a shot at peace.
The only problem is, as good as that sounds, you're still left with a problem. Israel is still existing.
Yes.
And for them, that seems to be the cornerstone of their religion and their ideology. So that hatred will always be festering because Israel is still existing.
And Israel is the size, when you compare Israel with the Arab territory, Israel is the size of a matchbook on a football field.
Well, that was folks, that's what's so great about this crew we have here. None of this was prepared for. It's just, there's so much knowledge and resources here around this table that can reach in and pull out such facts as that Mary just demonstrated and has Rainer just, we weren't planning on talking about, Jay Sekulow and all that stuff, but it's amazing.
Well, the article reminded me of the book.
Right.
I went back to it.
We're not snowflakes, but we do get triggered. And when we get triggered and the passion comes out, these people can reach down there and give you the facts on a lot of stuff.
And Rick has a hard time cutting us off.
That's right. Which I'm going to do right now because we need to take a second break and hear from our sponsors. We'll come right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the first part of the program, and we're going to move on now because there is one thing we did plan on talking about and we haven't even mentioned yet, and that's education. And what I wanted to do is... y'all think about who wants to start this off, because I'd like your ideas on what do you think is wrong with our education system. Diane?
There's a lot of things wrong, but before we start, I just wanted to remind everybody this is National School Choice Week.
Well, tell us something that's wrong with...
I guess there's maybe not enough choice or...
Now, we're talking about public education.
Public education. There's not a lot of... People know about the choices they have to get their kids out of the public school system.
Well, why would they want to get their children out of the public school system?
Oh, for so many reasons.
I mean it's a free education,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they make it easy. Our state is sort of making it kind of easy. If you want to leave the public school system, they have the opportunity scholarships, and they increase charter schools from 100 to about 200 now, and they're trying to get more and more every day. Charlotte is resisting. Durham is resisting more. They're very, very aggressive against charter schools because it's taking students away from their public schools.
Well, maybe I'm being facetious here. I don't know. But we've got laws, legislation. North Carolina Constitution requires our state to give a quality basic education.
Sound education to every
now,
student.
Now, so if your kid is getting a free public education, why in the world would you want to pull them out of public school and put them in a charter school or homeschool them or pay to send them to a private? All those things are expensive. So why would you want to do that, Raina?
Because they are not getting a free quality education.
Well, they're getting basic free.
It is free,
but it's
in
not.
That in the sense of money passing hands. Mm-hmm. It is not free in terms of what it's doing to the younger generations of our country. Mm-hmm. They are not being taught to read using phonics. They're taught sight words, which scrambles their brains. They are not teaching math in a logical way. How can math be illogical? We'll ask the instructors under Common Core. There's no logic involved that I can see. They are not teaching some of the ability to write, the ability to read with comprehension, to do simple basic math understanding. Civics classes, not wonderful. Geography, history, they aren't learning what they need to learn. And what they are getting instead is gender confusion. They're getting sex education that's designed to sexualize children far before it would happen naturally.
It's beyond health. It's not healthy.
It is unhealthy,
right?
Education. I personally think parents should be able to opt in if they choose,
right,
and have it that way rather than any question about they're going to get it if their parent doesn't jump up and down and scream.
Well, those are good points. Melissa, yeah, you had your...
She went over the top.
She okay, Hal?
Yeah, one thing that bothers me a great deal is, I guess I've heard Rick refer to it as revisionary history.
Mm.
But one example of it that when we were studying the Common Core that really got to my you know, bothered me an awful lot was they talked about that Nagasaki and Hiroshima caused the United States to rethink its values. Well, I'll tell you what, I was alive when those things happened, and I'm telling you, Americans celebrated like there was no tomorrow, because our boys weren't going to have to go invade Japan. And our aunts, you know, in my case, my uncles and people like that were not going to be required to do that. They were going to come home instead. And you talk about a celebration. It was wonderful. And now they're talking about there was something wrong with that.
Right.
And well, a high school friend of your mother's was the bombardier on the Enola Gay.
Absolutely was. And you can look that one up in the on the internet and find out a lot about him. For some reason, his name doesn't come to me right now, but Mother knew him well in high school.
Well, let me...
He came from Farmington, North Carolina, a very small town here in North Carolina. The bombardier and the Enola Gay did.
Well, that's part of their teaching shame. We're not taught to be patriots anymore. We're taught to be ashamed of how our country was started, what it was built upon, going into the wars, like you say. We are taught to be more global. Right. It's a global education.
That's a progressive agenda, right? That's
exactly. And if we feel shame, pride.
Well, if we feel shame, then it has to be misrepresented to us, because if we really knew what happened, we'd feel a great deal of pride and satisfaction in it.
And another thing they're starting to do is teach history. Not from the beginning, not from the colonists and for our founding fathers and people like that, but they want to start history teaching after the Civil War is over.
Right.
And, that just leaves out so much of our patriotism.
Well, let me back up a little bit here, because I was talking about the Constitution requires us to give our kids a public education, the North Carolina Constitution.
Yes. Right.
There's nothing in the federal Constitution about education. Anyway, I've heard a lot lately about the Leandro case, which was a court case back in 1997. I can't remember the exact year. But in 1997, the North Carolina Supreme Court determined that children in North Carolina are entitled to a sound basic education, which means there is a qualitative component to the North Carolina system of public schools. Yeah, that was Leandro versus State, and it was in 1997. Now, let's go on and say, what is a sound basic education? Right. Well, sufficient ability to read, write, speak English, and sufficient knowledge of fundamental math and physical science to enable students to function in a complex and rapidly changing society. Sufficient fundamental knowledge of geography, history, basic economic and political systems to enable students to make informed choices about issues that affect the student personally or in the student's community, state, and nation. A sufficient academic and vocational skills to enable the student to successfully engage in post-secondary education or vocational training and to compete with others in further formal education or gainful employment. Bob?
I just want to bring it back. If you remember back 8, maybe a little more, maybe 10 years ago, everybody says, I got my Obama phone. Now, with Common Core, didn't everybody get a Chromebook computer that solved every issue that there ever was?
Not really everybody, but a lot of them did. Actually, here in Craven County, there was a big purchase recently of iPads. Mm-hmm. And then I understand that when it came time to take the test, the iPads didn't work, so they had to take the test on Chromebooks. So there you go. Diane?
Two things. We have a law in place that schools are supposed to be teaching early history, our founding history, using primary documents. And they have a whole list of the documents that teachers should be using to teach this history. For what I hear from legislators is that, sure, the law is on the books, but teachers are actually not enforcing this and not using this. They're not pushing this.
I wanted to address that point, too, really, really critically. I wanted to, because House Bill 588 that gave instructions for the founding documents and history, you know, even the Ten Commandments and the various documents.
Magna Carta
is another one. The Constitution is another one. The Declaration of Independence is another one.
Yeah.
But they don't do that in the schools.
That's what I'm saying.
You can pass
that's,
all the legislation yeah. you want to, but yeah. it still comes
there's
right
no,
down to
so
the local school people.
No
and that's why getting a good conservative school board is critically important
exactly.
during this election.
Right. Exactly.
And let me point out to you that I don't think that's true in every case because there are some classrooms
yes, there are.
Where the teachers are doing what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Right.
But I just saw some recent statistics. I think it's 90-some percent of your academic your teachers, your faculty, and all, they're all liberal, leaning
oh,
left
absolutely.
Politically.
And
they're
we
not,
know some examples, yeah. all of us personally know some examples of some good teachers who
yeah.
do what we think ought to be done.
Right.
But I'm afraid they're in a minority.
Right. But they don't have the background. They are not educated. They don't have the background to actually teach it. I mean, if you, I went to get my certification for to teach in high school, and I could tell you that there's a whole bunch of young people just getting certified to the test, right, to the practice test mm-hmm. to get certified, but they cannot answer any questions or go into any deep dives on this stuff because they themselves are not educated in this area.
Right.
And getting an education degree, they say, is the easiest degree. For if anybody wants to go to school and get a degree, it's a joke. Sometimes they make a joke out of it. That's how easy it is.
Okay. Well, Hal mentioned House Bill 588. Mm-hmm. I'm going to introduce you to the most recent legislation that North Carolina came out with here. It's called House Bill 924, and it's an act to clarify eligibility for extended teacher contracts to require completion of an economic and personal finance course as a high school graduation requirement in public schools, to clarify requirements for high school civic literacy, and to require professional development for economics and personal finance teachers. Well, I'm going to skip over the part about extended teacher contracts. That may be important, but it's not to the point that I want to get to right now. The financial training part of it is very good and long overdue, I think, economics mm-hmm. and finances. They want to teach them such things as the true cost of credit, choosing and managing a credit card, borrowing money for an automobile or other large purchases, home mortgages, credit scoring and credit reports, planning and paying for post-secondary education, and other relevant financial literacy issues. Now, that's all good. That's all good, but there's something about, do you notice anything about there? It's all about credit.
Yeah.
How about saving?
Yeah.
How about investing?
Yeah.
How about retirement planning?
Budgeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about those things? Let's make sure they're included.
Yeah, how about
in
getting
there.
A second job if you really need more money?
Yeah. Let's teach them how to go more into
yeah,
debt.
Live
yeah.
within your means. Like that's it. That's it.
Okay. Now I'm going to skip on down to the part where they clarify the civics training and all a little bit here, which is eerily a whole lot like House Bill 588.
Is that still in that House Bill 924?
Yeah, still in the same bill, yes. Okay. This is Section 3C or something like that. Anyway, the course required by Subdivision 1 of this subsection shall be solely focused on civics and citizenship education and shall include at least the following subjects. The Creator-endowed inalienable rights of the people. Structure of government, separation of powers with checks and balances, frequent and free elections in a representative government, rule of law, equal justice under the law, private property rights, federalism, due process, individual rights as set forth in the Bill of Rights, individual responsibility, constitutional limitations on government power to tax and spend and prompt payment of public debt, strong defense and supremacy of civil authority over military, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. The State Board of Education is strongly encouraged to include the following components in the course required by the Subdivision 1 in this subsection, that students write to a local, state, or federal elected official about an issue that is important to them. Instruction on the importance of voting and otherwise participating in the democratic process, including instructions on voter registration. Information about current events and governmental structure, information about the democratic process and how laws are made. The State Board of Education shall require that any high school level curriculum-based test for the course required in the subdivision of this subsection developed and administered statewide include questions related to the philosophical foundations of our form of government and the principles underlying the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution and its amendments, and the most important of the Federalist Papers, the Department of Public Instruction and local boards of education, as appropriate, shall provide or cause to be provided curriculum content for the course required in Subdivision 1 of this subsection and professional development to ensure that the intent and provisions of this subsection are carried out. The curriculum content established shall include a review of the contributions made by Americans of all races. The Department of Public Instruction shall submit a biennial report by October 15th of each odd number year to the Joint Legislative Education Oversight Committee covering the implementation of this subsection. Hurrah, hurrah, that's a step in the right direction.
It sure is, but I didn't hear anything about stringing up the county school board
right
by its thumbs if they don't do it.
All right. Well, we've got to take our last break here. We'll be right back to wrap the show up.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been talking about education. Mary, you had something about our missions.
Yes, part of our CCTA mission statement is that we are a grassroots organization that advocates constitutionally limited government. And I just want to talk a little bit about the Department of Education.
Okay.
First of all, the Constitution does not give the federal government control of education.
Absolutely right.
But that's a whole nother discussion. In May of 1980, the Department of Education was created. It used to be part of the Department of Education and Department of Health and Human Services, but education got split off and made into a cabinet-level position. Now, when they began, way back when, in 1979, they had a budget of $12 billion. In 2016, they had a budget of $68 billion. And in 2019, the budget also supported $129.8 billion in new post-secondary grants, loans, and work-study assistance to help an estimated 11.5 million students and their families pay for college. That's ridiculous.
It is. It is. Also, I thought the legislation we talked about prior to the break is a great step in the right direction, along with House Bill 588. Also, our president, in case y'all haven't heard, because it's not widely publicized on mainstream media, but he has just revoked the Obama-era rules and has restored the right to pray in public schools.
Excellent.
So that's, you know, we're heading in the right direction, folks. Get behind that move.
Real quick, two things. Talking about that bill, I did teach civics and government in high school. I did teach these primary documents. We went through Federalist Papers. We went through the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the history, the Magna Carta, all that kind of stuff. After all these deep dives, we took the AP. It was an AP class. We took the sample AP test, a couple of them. And I can tell you that their answers are not the correct answers.
Right.
A couple of them are wrong. Where do your rights come from? Oh, you know, they come from the, you know, Constitution.
Creator.
You know, but their answers are wrong. If you study the founding documents.
That's horrible.
It is wrong. But so we as a class went through this. Just so you know, if we went back and we learned properly, we would be able to pick out some of these errors. Second of all, if you're going to challenge teachers for, veering away from what they're supposed to be teaching, there is a federal statute called, like, asking information about, your background, blah, blah, blah. Okay. There's a federal statute called the, it's Pupil Privacy Rights Act, the PPRA. And you can't ask students certain private questions and get data. So this helps us to fight against the data mining stuff and the psychology exams, blah, 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 blah. So parents don't know this, but if CCTA wants to get a group together and challenge some of the stuff in the school system.
Right.
Look into the statute.
Good point. Well, we're running out of time. We are out of time. Excuse me. I have to wrap this up real quick. But, folks, this is the reason we need you to get involved in CCTA. It's up to us to help get these things accomplished. I just urge you. Rainer's our membership chairman. You can reach her at Rainer at cctaxpayers.com. That's Rainer, R-A-Y-N-O-R, at cctaxpayers.com. Visit our website, cctaxpayers.com. Please come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If bale and wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.